Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Global Force Wrestling is hitting the scene. Grand Slam Tour coming up starting on June 12th in Jackson, Tennessee, and going throughout the summer and into the fall. And that means Jeff Jarrett is going to be warming up his arm because he's got a lot of first pitches to throw out. Right, Jeff?
You got it, Brian. Having a lot of fun with that, actually. I am headed up to this week alone, I'm going to Erie, Pennsylvania and Appleton, Wisconsin. And this last week, I was out in Round Rock, Texas, and Lake County, which is a suburb of Cleveland, and then down here to Knoxville, Tennessee. So I've been having a lot of fun with that, and not only fun, it's really, I like to say this, I'm getting into the true DNA of the minor league baseball, their fan bases, the people coming through, and you know, a lot of questions are being asked. Hey, so tell me a little bit more about this. Like, you guys are wrestling where? And I said, we're going to set up a ring right there on that home plate. And you know, the kid's eyes get real big, or the dad goes, really? So they have the questions. And it's, you know, if you hadn't been to a show at a baseball stadium, there obviously there's not a bad seat in the house, but it's just, it's a cool, real fun atmosphere. And so I'm excited. I really am, Brian.
How much do you think you'd learn more from doing it with this grassroots style compared to, we're so close to one another throughout the world now with social media and the advance of technology, but then you're doing this kind of an old school way where, like I said, it's kind of grassroots and going out there and meeting the people.
Well, I'm doing it both ways. As you know, Golden Force Wrestling is highly engaged in social media and you know, not just Twitter and Facebook, but YouTube and Instagram and just GlobalForceWrestling.com, which got recently revamped. But, you know, I've done press all day today, and it goes without saying that, you know, people have asked me, okay, last April, you know, you started. And I said, yes, April 7th, we basically named the company. And I stepped along step by step by step and methodically rolled it out because I really believe in sort of the proof's in the pudding. In 2015, to really cut through and create a brand identity, you just don't do it overnight. It's impossible because, you know, not only, you know, 20 years ago, there were 50 cable channels, and then 10 years ago, everything started going digital, and then went to 400 or 500 channels. And now with how we're all connected, there's five or six major, and I mean major social media platforms, and not everybody's on every platform. I've got five kids, and my kids don't go on Facebook, and certainly, you know, don't go on Twitter. They're Instagram and Snapchat. So to really cut through the clutter and create a brand identity, I think you've got to turn over every rock and do everything you possibly can. And so, yes, we're highly engaged in the online community, but this, you know, this Grand Slam Tour is, you can call it old school, but I also think it's a little bit of old school, new school, because we're sitting down with the marketing folks of each baseball team and getting into each community and finding out, you know, where their fan bases are and who buys tickets and what radio groups they're working with and what digital groups and what television groups. And so, you know, we're plugging away, and as my attorneys like to tell me on a daily basis, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, in it for the long haul, and really just got to take step after step after step to create that brand awareness.
I was going to say, how are you when it comes to patience now? Because like you said, this, you're building this from the ground up, and you've got so much invested into this, and obviously you have big plans, you have big ideas, but at the same time, there's a right way to do it to try to make it successful.
Well, if there's one thing that I have learned throughout my career and witnessed and been a part of and all sides of it, is that you do have to have patience. It, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and that's the old saying, that old sayings don't get to be old sayings unless they're true. And how true it is, and I've said it probably the last time we spoke, if you rush a product to the marketplace too soon, you almost have two strikes and a 98-mile fastball on the way for your third. You really have to take it step by step and build it and think about things. And you know, this, we got a big world we're living in. And social media, yes, it connects it, but there are so many opportunities out there for not just kids, but adults, you know, with phones and tablets and everything going on, there's a lot of ways to consume not just your wrestling, but everything, every form of entertainment. Netflix and the streaming services, they're game changers. Cable television is in a crossroads in cable television history. You know, it's definitely a crossroads. The sports packages are commanding, you know, top dollar. And on the flip side of that, the economics are not what they were once were. And that's because the digital space is taking up, you know, they're taking a lot of ad dollars. So it's a unique time, but I'm excited because every step of the way, a little bit more progress, a little bit more progress, and a little bit more progress.
You know, on that note, is it hard to find a niche in today's world when it comes to, there's a lot of wrestling that is out there, but everybody's trying to find their own avenue. So is it difficult to find that now, or is it kind of like what's old is new again? How do you approach that?
Oh, good question. And I think a little bit of both, in that, I guess finding your niche is sort of, I don't know how you're saying it. I guess you're calling it a niche. We want to be the very best we can be. Global Force Wrestling is professional wrestling. WWE is sports entertainment, and what they do, they have no peers. They do it better than anybody and have for many, many years. What we want to do is bring different fan bases under one umbrella. We want to bring legends who are still household names. We want to bring, we'll call them primetime players. And then I want to be a part of putting we'll say a Chuck Taylor, the new Heavenly Bodies, names that are not anywhere close. You know, I like to call them lesser names. That this time next year, me and you, Brian, will hopefully be talking about four or five or six guys that in today's casual wrestling world, these guys have never been heard of, and they're going to become, you know, they're going to be on their path to stardom. That's one of the things that excites me the most is how are we going to build our niche or how are we going to be different. I want to give guys that have really honed their craft and stepped onto the stage and they're ready to show their ability. And quite frankly, the talent pool, the independent scene, the free agents of the world, that market is very rich.
Once you have a television deal in place and you start doing TV, whenever that time comes, do you utilize talents in a different manner from how you would utilize somebody on TV compared to how you will use them like in this Grand Slam tour and you're doing shows, you know, at minor league ballparks?
You'll see it, yeah, and then you will see in our, you know, there's a sort of a saying that I like to discuss with our marketing guys that we're not going to write stories, we're going to document them, because there's a story behind every wrestler, no matter what. There's a story on how they got to where they're at, and you know, everyone knows that professional wrestling is not true sport, but is it competitive? Brian, you know firsthand how competitive it is. People want to have the best match. And if you're in the best match, you want to be the highlight of that best match, and you want to have the newest move, and you want to sell the most T-shirts, sell the most tickets, or have the highest-rated segment, or have a video that gets the most YouTube views. All of that is true competition. So we want to present professional wrestling in a real hard-hitting, competitive style. And guys, you know, I've been asked today, what are you looking for when you look in talent? And it's so easy for me to answer. It's passion. I want a guy who's very, very passionate about this business, that's going to work hard, sun up, sun down. You know, it's one thing, the easy part, and I don't want to call it easy, you know, as in what we do is easy, but I'll call it the fun part or the competitive part is from bell to bell. When you're outside the ring, you've got to promote. You've got to be engaged. You've got to carry yourself in a professional manner. There's a lot of components to becoming a true professional wrestler with a very, very high quality standard. And that's what I love being a part of. And you know, the stage of my career, obviously my in-ring days are very, very numbered, and I'm not going to be on the roster of Global Force Wrestling, but I'm going to be the promoter, and I'm going to really, really look to find the best talent and put it in the best situation with the best matchups. And I think the Global Force Wrestling fans are really going to latch on to that.
Well, I was going to bring that up when it comes to your in-ring career, because especially when it comes to these shows, you know, on the Grand Slam tour, I would think that you would be a draw being in the ring. So why not utilize that?
I believe my marketing efforts, and I'm going to be at every show. I will be very accessible, autographs, pictures, any and all that. But I want to focus on, you know, the Global Force Wrestling athletes, and it's a, you know, we talked earlier about being a grassroots. It's a spreading the word, spreading the brand. I'm not going to be a part of, like I said, of that full-time roster, but I'm going to be supporting every member on that roster in a big way and want them to do and make as much money as possible and be as successful as possible.
You've got the TV taping dates coming up later this summer in Las Vegas. I think the first one's July 24th. So when are you going to announce the TV deal?
Obviously, that's been a part of all of my interviews today. What's the situation? And the real facts of the matter is that the North American, the United States, because obviously there's Canada and Mexico that factor into this, but just as importantly, we are called Global Force Wrestling. We're called that for a reason. And lining up the international deals, and we do have an announcement of that coming up probably in the next 30 days, is that, you know, the method and making everything line up is a unique, but it's also very, you know, going to be a very rewarding part of this process. So there's a lot of talk. What are you doing in Vegas? Are you going to produce 13 one-hour episodes? I've read in a blog about 2 weeks ago that Jeff's going to do three live shows from Vegas. And anything and everything between. We are still working all that out. It's going to be what's best, not just for the United States, but for a global presence as well.
So when it comes to when you are talking to different avenues about a TV deal, how does all that factor when it comes to what you might do at those tapings, when it comes to the people you're talking to about trying to land that TV deal? Is one kind of based on the other?
It does. It's a very collaborative effort. Like I said earlier, cable television is at a crossroads, not just in professional wrestling. And really, you can almost exclude professional wrestling from this conversation. They're at a crossroads in how their business is being done because, like I said, success of House of Cards and other programs like that and binge watching, that has changed the game drastically in the world of cable television. The other flip side of that, professional wrestling has always been that unique style of programming that gets numbers and it's 52 weeks a year. Well, TV minds aren't geared that way. They're geared for a premiere and a finale. You know, USA Network's been very, very successful over the years on carrying that over. Well, as we roll into 2015 and the economics of cable television and just how it works, and like I said, the streaming side of things and just how everything is consumed, all those factors are factoring in on the decisions being made. And back to our patience conversation, you know, you can jump on deals real quick and have a cable deal, and then all of a sudden it airs and you go, wait a minute, what's the next step? And so, like I said, I had to be very patient, but also really think long term. And that's a part of this Grand Slam tour. The 2015 is step one. And as we continue to roll in, step two will be next year will be a national corporate sponsor and things that go with that. And then other components that will come out of content, because they say in the business, content is king. And that has never been more true.
Can wrestling be a binge watching product? Because it's been episodic TV. And I'm curious if it can actually transform into that, where people would actually sit down and binge watch an entire season of it, like if it's 13 or 16 weeks, where they would watch it over a 2 or 3 day period.
You tell me. I think that the jury is out on that. I do not believe.
I don't think so.
Until it's attempted, I don't think anyone will know. I know myself, and me and you, you know, we're not that close in age. You're a lot older than me, but no, just kidding. We are born and raised in either watching it on Saturday mornings or Saturday nights at 6:05, or then it went to, whatever you want to call it, Monday Night Raw or Monday Night Nitro, and then all that. We've been accustomed to it being a weekly program. If you would have asked me, just ask yourself, do you think Seinfeld would have ever succeeded had it been binge-watched and all 26 episodes would have released? Me and you both would have said, absolutely not. But would you say that today?
Today it's a different thing, and you know it's.
The world has changed.
It definitely has. The thing I would say though about a show like that though wasn't necessarily. You can watch Seinfeld out of order, and it's okay. You can't do the same thing for professional wrestling if you really want to get the story of it.
That's without question. You can't watch it out of order. What I'm saying is that I don't believe the verdict is out. Jury's out. I don't believe there's been. But I do think the combination of creating content, not the combination, you know, the traditional method of, you know, producing a 2-hour show or a 3-hour show or a 1-hour show on a weekly basis, that cannot be your sole method of outputting content. Mm-hmm. It has to be, if not daily, hourly of pushing content out to engage that audience. If not, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week just doesn't cut it, in my opinion. And I don't think you can ever go back to those days.
How open are you, and how long until you think a platform like a Netflix or a Hulu decides to go with pro wrestling?
You know what? I think it's all about numbers. They're business people, and it's got to make economic sense. And 36 months ago, the cable industry didn't look anything like it does today. 36 months ago, Netflix didn't look anywhere like today. They've got 62 million people paying $10 a month around the globe. That's incredible. And that has happened in a relatively short period of time. So technology, I hate to use this word again over and over, it's truly a game changer. And the professional wrestling business has got to stay up in pace, and if not, a little bit ahead of the curve to fully engage your audience. You got to be in tune with technology and how the kids, and I'm not just saying kids, I'm saying college kids, and just the millennials coming in and the next generation and how they're consuming their content. Because it's not just wrestling. The music business completely turned upside down. In less than 10 years, you went from a CD to a 99-cent iTunes to now that's a streaming service. There's the money that used to be in selling a CD to now streaming a stream. It's dollars to pennies. And so that business is in the process of adapting. It's a touring business, it's a merchandise business. No different than the wrestling business. Things are changing.
You know, we just saw that deal where Ring of Honor is going to be on Destination America, and now they formed a block of TV on Wednesday nights along with TNA. Would you be open to being part of a block of wrestling programming with another group? Because in the past, it seemed almost, you know, something that would never happen just because of the competition that is around.
Well, you're showing your age now, because blocks of wrestling have existed for years. Back in the syndicated days, people in Atlanta could watch an hour from Tennessee wrestling, an hour from Texas wrestling, an hour from Florida wrestling. So wrestling blocks have always been successful, and wrestling fans find them. So I think it's a win. And there's four wins. I think it's a win for Ring of Honor. I think it's a win for TNA. I think it's a win for Destination America. And most importantly, it's a win for the wrestling fans, because they can sit back on a Wednesday night and then watch it. And even easier than that, and here's the flip side to all of that. When wrestling blocks existed 30 years ago, no such thing as a DVR. And so in the world of DVR, you pair up wrestling, it just creates, it's the same, in my opinion, it's the exact same analogy that you have a McDonald's on one corner, and if you put a Burger King across the street, business is going to go down for McDonald's. It's quite the opposite. No, there's where everybody goes and eats their hamburgers, and put a Wendy's on one corner and put a Five Guys on another, then it becomes hamburger heaven. So it creates business. It creates awareness. It all rising tide rises all ships. And that's, in my opinion, the same set of circumstances that you're dealing with Destination America.
Well, I agree with that. I just wonder how snippy fans are going to be. And that's something that we didn't have in the past, is that fans have such a voice now where sometimes it creates controversy in places where there really isn't any. And then the next thing you know, there actually is.
And again, the Monday Night Wars were a unique set of timing in not just wrestling, but in technology and programming. And now I believe, any wrestling man out there is kidding themselves if you don't think Ring of Honor and TNA are going to bust in their ass to get the very best product out every Wednesday night. Because they are competing on some level. Is it do or die? Absolutely not. Because in the end, they'll both win. But they're going to up there, they're going to look at numbers. And I can tell you this, they're going to look at minute by minute as opposed to just quarter hours and hours. Because they're going to want to know what's going on, you know, going into TNA and coming out of Ring of Honor, and what was going on the other hours, you know, what was Ring of Honor's competition during their hour, and what was TNA's competition during their 2 hours. It's going to be fun to watch.
Last couple of things. You've already announced Chael Sonnen as being part of your announce crew. When are you going to announce Jim Ross?
When the time is right. Would you like me to give the announcement today, give you the scoop?
Sure, please do.
You're out of your mind, Mr. Fritz. No.
So, I thought you'd appreciate the way that I phrased that, too, Jeff.
I love it. I do. I really appreciate it. But, no, it's no secret. Jim has gone on record multiple times. I have to. Jim Ross and Cheryl Sonnen is obviously be a dream team. But some things don't work out. And I'm not saying it is or it isn't. It's number one, Jim has his own brand. You know, he has his one-man shows. He has his food products. He has a lot going on in his world. And scheduling could or could not. But we are still working diligently. Jim Ross's group has been great. They were fantastic to work with during the New Japan Wrestling Kingdom 9. And we continue to work. And we've got a couple other projects in the works that could be very interesting as the weeks and months and roll out. So I'm looking forward to working with Jim, I'll say that.
Well, I was going
to
say, how much would having JR announced as a part of the promotion help when it comes to securing TV deals, media, and all the different things that go along with what you're trying to do?
I mean, he's the greatest, and still is, in my opinion, he's the greatest wrestling announcer living today or that has ever lived. He has, in my opinion, he brings such an intense amount of passion. Again, I go back to that word, to what he does. It comes through the screen, and, you know, the guys that we interviewed them over at New Japan, what's it going to be like for Jim Ross to call your match? And you could just see the genuine sincerity that a lot of guys that Jim hadn't called, they were fired up. And that's guys that are in the ring. And so it translates definitely to the wrestling fan as well.
Last thing, you're throwing out all these first pitches. How's your fastball?
Oh, it's about, you know, on a bad day, it's about 88, 89.
Really? You're throwing some heat in there, man.
Oh, are you kidding me? Have you seen the tape?
I'm just glad you're standing on the mound. You're not in front of it.
Well, Saturday night in Knoxville, the PR people that walk you out there, they said, oh, you can't get on the mound. I said, you mean I can't throw on the mound? And she said, no, we don't allow that. Okay. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun. It really has, and I enjoy doing that. And like I said at the top of the interview, it really gives me a chance to get out there and see these fans and talk to them. And I get excited. They get excited about wrestling coming to their baseball stadium.
Well, the Grand Slam Tour is kicking off on June 12th, Jackson, Tennessee, the next night in Knoxville. And then you can find all the dates throughout the summer. Go to globalforcewrestling.com. Go to the live events page. You'll see all the different minor league parks that the Grand Slam Tour is going. Plus, you'll find the dates there for the Las Vegas TV tapings that are coming up later on in the summer and all the other news and notes going on with Global Force. So, Jeff, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And good luck as you continue to go forward with the project.
Appreciate all your time, as usual. Appreciate the promotion, and we will talk soon. And Grand Slam Tour is about to kick off in less than 2 weeks. And thanks for your time, bud.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Hey, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.